This podcast replay, it's brought to you by Edge Energy Drink. Go to myedgedrink.com and order the only energy drink I enjoy because it's delicious, smooth, and has zero aftertaste. That's my kind of energy drink. It's the Big O's choice. Make it yours. Get the Edge at myedgedrink.com. All righty, there he is. How you doing? You feeling good?
I'm great. I'm great, man. You know, in my typical travel fashion.
Where are you going?
Waited until about, I'm in Connecticut right now, but waited until about, 2 a.m., 1 or 2 a.m. to really pack. So, of course, got zero sleep. I just am a masochist when it comes to travel, I guess. So, okay. A little tired, but, man, I feel blessed.
Okay. All right. Well, at least you packed before you made your trip, right? But, you know, apparently in A Few Good Men, he wasn't packed and he was going to leave Guantanamo and nobody knew. He didn't even make a phone call. Did you make some phone calls when you were leaving?
Sent a couple texts out. Actually, I got shamed by the flight attendant who asked me if I was on airplane mode. I was like, it will be in 2 seconds. And he goes on this tangent about how
apparently a previous pilot
made them stay put until every single phone, every laptop, every Wi-Fi was off. I was like, all right, bro. By the time you finish that sentence, I was already on airplane mode. So let's get out of here. Let's do it.
You are no William Santiago. Now we know. Did you ever watch A Few Good Men? Do you know what the hell I'm talking about?
Apparently not.
No, God.
I think I know the line. That's the one, that's the You Can't Handle the Truth movie, right?
Yeah. How have you not watched that movie? What is wrong with
it? Is it older than me, yes or no? When did it come out?
Is it great? That's all that matters.
Is it older than me?
No.
If it's older than me,
it should not be a requirement.
Period.
So you're not going to watch a great movie that's 30 years old or 40 years old. You can't watch a great movie. So you can't watch Jaws.
I've seen Jaws, but I don't think Jaws is older than me.
What the hell are you talking about? Jaws is older than when you were even before you were sperm. The hell are you talking about?
I saw Jaws as a child. I saw Jaws
from the 70s, dude. I was in line as a child for Jaws. Hey, what are you talking about? It's way older than you.
Oh, you know what? You know what?
Your parents weren't even married when Jaws came out, dude.
I did the ride.
I will guarantee you that.
I did the ride at Universal Studios. That was it.
Yeah.
That
was it. When did your parents get married? When your parents get married, I bet it was after 77.
Yeah, 91.
Yeah. I told you you weren't even sperm.
I've not seen The Godfather 1, 2, or 3. I've never seen Goodfellas.
Don't watch three. 1 and 2. Just 1 and 2. 1 and 2.
I mean, just rack them up, man. I've never even seen Any Given Sunday. Trying to think of like a football relevant movie.
Okay, I mean, that's a football one, and I kind of like, I'm not going to hold that against you because that's not like one of the great movies of all time. But, you know, A Few Good Men is a hell of a movie. You got to watch that, bro. Yeah. Did you watch Top Guns? The new Top Guns coming out?
I have seen Top Gun because I had a summer camp counselor that used to love saying that line, talk to me, Goose, talk to me. And all of us stared at him like, what are you talking about? And he realized we were kids. He's like, okay, hold on. Movie day tomorrow. We're watching Top Gun. And we were all like, okay, cool. Jets. Let's go outside now.
And water slide. How old were you? How old were you for that Top Gun?
I don't know, man. Like 12, 13.
Did you get to appreciate it at that age?
No. I've only seen it that one time. And really all I remember is the scene where Goose died and the volleyball scene. And that's really about it.
Okay. All right. You need to catch
maybe
up
some
on
other
some
time.
Classics. You need some catch up on some classics. So you don't listen to classic music either? You won't listen to like a song that's 40 years old either? Not classical music. I'm talking about 40 years.
Like,
you're not going to listen to Marvin Gaye from 40 years ago. You're not going to listen to Albert King from 60 years ago.
That I can get a pass for not having heard a Marvin Gaye song. A specific Marvin Gaye song from 40 years ago. But no, I don't go out of my way to listen to Marvin Gaye. I know a lot of people do. I have a good friend, Charles McDonald, great oldies head, Harry Lyles, both of them, big into oldies music.
Smart guy.
I got a couple songs. I got a couple songs, but you know, music's changed.
All right, culturally, we got to get you involved here, bro. You got to know about all kinds of music, new and old.
I didn't say I don't know about it. I didn't say I'm not aware or I'm not familiar. I just don't go out of my way to listen to it. Like, if you look at my Spotify playlist, it's not going to be a whole bunch of songs from the 60s and 70s on there.
I tell you, your parents are probably also very disappointed in you. They may not say it, but they're probably mumbling behind the scenes. Like, I can't believe he doesn't listen to me. I don't know. It's just one of those. I don't know.
My stepdad used to hijack the radio and make us listen to either 94.7 KSSJ Jazz or V101.1 oldies station. So I associate certain music with him, and I don't like him. So old stepdad, former stepdad. So like, I hear a certain song, and I just get angry, and I throw the joint up. So I don't go out of my way to listen to that stuff.
Okay.
Blame George for that. Don't blame me.
All right. So what have you picked up this week from the Dolphin Nation? What have you been focused in on this week? Or this past week?
I saw this. I saw a tweet. I realize it was a troll now. But like, I think I saw it just first thing in the morning. It was like, no way. Where somebody said, Tua would have had a Pat Mahomes type leap if we're not for Brian Flores last year, and he's gonna have a Josh Allen type leap in year three now that Mike McDaniel's here. And I know he's joking, but I think it still needs to be said that those should not be the expectations. Like, a Josh Allen type leap should never be expected of any quarterback. I think that's extremely rare, and he's an extremely special case. I think Tua is going to be good this year. I think he's going to be better this year, better weapons, better coaching, healthier, more developed, smarter. I mean, all the ingredients are there for Tua to be in that top 12, top 14 range among NFL quarterbacks, who I think at his peak, you know, maybe he's got a couple weeks where you can call him a top 10, a top 8 even, mm-hmm. in a blow up matchup. But you know, troll or not, like, there's always a little bit of truth, and there's always these expectations of, Josh Allen did this in year three, so Tua should be able to do this in year three. I don't think that's fair to Tua. I think they're different players. I think they develop at different rates. It's different situations with different supporting casts. And, so like I say, troll tweet or not, that's just something I would love to stop seeing in the NFL, among any fan bases that look at a player and say, okay, well, his numbers look like this guy's in year two, and this guy did that in year three, so my guy should do this in year three. Nah, because right, you set yourself up for disappointment.
Yeah, no, but, because there are all kinds of factors that are going to either help or hurt every player on every position. So there are things that are out of their control, and then there are things that are in their control, and all of those things will end up creating whatever kind of season that you're going to have. He should be better because of all the things you said. And now, the stage is set. He's got a much better atmosphere. That's one of the things that I was talking about with Poopart earlier, is that that's the one thing, at least there isn't a disruptive, atmosphere right now for him or anybody else. You got a coaching staff that came in and embraced him and has supported him. And now they've built the offense around him. So he has to feel like he hasn't felt in the first 2 years, which is supported. And I think that's important.
Yeah. And, he's a different guy when his mind is at ease, as we all are.
Everybody
is. But you could just, like, for example, you could tell the difference during that first Wednesday we spoke to him after the trade deadline. Because the trade deadline was on, I believe it was a Tuesday, and QBs talk on Wednesdays. So the first time we spoke to him, it was a wave of relief, which is kind of wild because if I remember correctly, he had a broken finger at the time that nobody knew about yet. So he had plenty to worry about behind the scenes, but the big cloud over him, he's just a relaxed guy. Come on, man. Like, the guy is from Hawaii. He's that kind of player. He likes to relax. He's not high strung.
It's not fun to work somewhere where you're not supported, dude. It's just not fun.
Yeah.
Trust me, I know. My last year at QAM, they brought in a new program director. The idiot is still there now. And he knows nothing about radio. And for 11 months after I met him, I knew I was getting fired. Like, after I met him, I told my producer, hey, that guy's firing me. I told the salespeople, no, that guy's going to fire. I'll get out of here. You got all these sponsors. No, trust me, he's firing me. And so I knew from the get-go he wasn't supporting me, and I knew I was going to get fired. So it's not a – and for 11 months, I had to walk in there waiting till my option so it wasn't picked up. Dude, that day when I got fired, I was the HR guy goes to me, I've never seen anybody happy when they get fired. And I go, well, I've been waiting for 11 months. Because when the guy told me, no, we were going to go in another direction, I go, thank you very much, Len. I appreciate it. I am extremely happy that I get to leave. Thank you. I told him just like that. And the HR guy was freaking out. He goes, man, I always see people mad, sad, crying. You're skipping out of here. Yeah, dude. Yeah, I'm super happy because I knew I could do this. I knew I could run my own, you know, I don't need the damn radio station to do what I need to do if I have to. But I know what it's like to walk in somewhere and they don't support you and they want to replace you. That's not fun, dude. Not fun at all.
No, it's not. And especially not when you're in a position where the whole world knows it.
Oh, yeah.
The whole world knows it. Like, you can't ignore it. Like, God bless him for saying things, you know, I didn't even know the trade deadline was yesterday. Or I don't read any of that stuff. I don't think it's as easy to escape as some of these guys make it seem. I don't think he goes out of his way reading trade rumors, but you know,
it'll get back to him one way or another, dude. He walks through the locker room and there's a TV on and somebody's saying something. You know, whatever, bro. A friend of his, a buddy of his sends it to, hey, what is this? You know, what's this trade rumor? What's this? What's that? So he gets it. So, you know, give me a break. You think his agent isn't going to bring it up to him because his agent's probably going to hear a lot of the shit behind the scenes? He has a very well-connected agent. It's not like his agent's a schmuck. You know what I'm saying? So,
Steinberg is an industry titan and a long-time industry titan.
Yes, so. Lee's going to know about any kind of rumors that are going off, and if they're talking about trading him or whatever, Lee's going to know before you even call him, hey, Lee, by the way, we want you to know. I already know. I've been told. You know, he's going to know way ahead of time. So, yeah, I'm with you. That crap that they can walk away from from the white noise, as they say, get the hell out of here, bro. You hear it. You hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, again, better situation right now. Much more talent around him. An environment where, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say like Mike McDaniel doesn't take this seriously. Of course he takes it seriously.
Hell yeah.
But I think that Mike McDaniel is still the kind of guy who's, you know, realizes, okay, like we still play a game for a living. Respectfully, we still play a game for a living. Like, this isn't war. You know, I don't need to treat you guys like your soldiers. I don't need to bark at you. I don't need to ride you. Like, I think he's a player's coach. Like, I asked River Craycraft about it a couple days ago. Player's coach. Never going to big time you. He's the kind of guy that wants to hang out. You know, he's the kind of guy that he's a pull you off to the side and let you know what you're doing wrong, not a chew you out in front of the entire team kind of person. And I think that's the kind of relationship that Tua will thrive in. So, no.
By the way, if you're looking for a great energy drink, the best on the planet, it is Edge Energy Drink. Just 78 calories. It is delicious, smooth, and zero aftertaste. And I tell you this all the time because it is delicious. For a lot of these energy drinks aren't delicious. A lot of these energy drinks aren't smooth. And most of them have an aftertaste. Zero aftertaste. And by the way, you can order it, get 10% off. Use our code Big O. Go to myedgedrink.com. That's myedgedrink.com. All right. Noah Igbinoghamy needs to have a breakout season. Now, it's hard for him because he's got two starting corners in front of him. So I want you to paint the picture for the Dolphin Nation. How does Noah Igbinoghamy justify his draft status this year? How does he make the Dolphin Nation the Dolphin coaches feel like they made the right decision by the end of this season. What is the job for Noah Igbinoghami to cross that threshold?
The only way he's going to be able to justify the draft position this year is if Byron Jones gets hurt or X gets hurt and there's little to no drop off in play. Like, that's the only way to justify being a first round cornerback this year. I think you can justify your roster spot, though, in a lot of different ways. One of them, just like I say, if one of those guys gets hurt, X has had some injury problems the past few years. He might miss a game or two. Byron Jones has had injury problems. He might miss a game or two. The ability to step in and fill in their spot in a pinch without, you know, a drop-off, without coaching staff worrying about, oh, my God, like, how do we manufacture defense to hide Noah? How do we do this and that? Then that's worth the roster spot. To contribute on special teams,
hold your camera.
That's worth the roster
hold
spot.
Hold your camera. You're like a Cuban moving with your hands while you're talking.
Hey, look, man, I'm at where I'm at. But
there we go. See, there we go. There we go. Steady.
I'm at, all right, go ahead. I'm at where I'm at. But, yeah, man, see, you messed up my – I feel like Emperor's New Groove. Speaking of movies, you ever seen that one, Emperor's New Groove?
Yes, yes, yes.
I feel like the Emperor, when he bumped into the old dude, he was like, dude, you threw off my groove. Now I don't know where
I was. Stay concentrated, damn it. Let's go. Get back on track. What was Noah
so
have to do?
We interrupt. But, no, I think if he can work his way –
You're going like this the entire time. The thing is shaking.
If he you can work his like, way into the rotation, and if he can, he
I got
can
a seizure going on now.
On game day, then it's worth the roster spot. I mean, last year we've had this discussion a couple times on this show where it's like the coaching staff didn't think enough of him to even put him on the game day roster when there's only three cornerbacks active. That's a problem. If that continues into this year, I don't. You know, obviously he's not getting that fifth year picked up. But I don't know, man. There is a world where if he works his ass off, maybe puts together a few standout performances this year. That, I mean, he's cheap. He's cheap. I can tell you that next year. Maybe they want to move on from Byron Jones. I'm not saying that's going to be the case, but if there's an out in the contract, I don't know the details off the top of my head. But, I, you know, following his third year with the team, it's usually how it works.
Right? It's almost like he needs X or Byron to miss three or four games. And in those three or four games, he comes in, he kicks ass, he shows something, and then the whoever it is gets back on track and gets healthy. But then all of a sudden, you see that window for X, and you say, okay, this is what changed. 2 years ago when that happened, he got toasted and roasted, and he looked unprepared. This time around, the dude played good for 3 or 4 weeks. Maybe now we've got the guy. It may take an injury because – You're going to have to, like, be out on the field quite a bit to kind of show. Even if you flash a little bit, you know that's not enough.
Yeah, it's not enough. And that's why what he does off the field or what he does away from game day is also going to be important. What are his practice habits? What we're hearing now is that he's, you know, a first guy in, last guy out type of worker this offseason. That needs to continue. His study in the film room needs to continue. He has two extremely talented players above him right now. I don't know what the practice effort would look like for him in order to take over Byron Jones's job. He's not going to take X's job. So for him to take even Byron Jones's job, a Herculean practice effort might not even cut it. I don't know how good, I don't know what it looks like, how good he has to be in practice in order to earn a starting job. So that's not a reasonable expectation for him this year is like, okay, what do you do when you're starting? So he's going to have to do the other things. Like I said, what are you doing in the film room, in the weight room, on the practice field? You know, what kind of relationships are you building with your coaches? What are they seeing out of your work ethic and your work habits and your work ethic? You know, I don't know if he's not at risk of being cut this year. This is only his third year.
No. But they've got to start finding something out about him now. Because they did spend the first rounder on him. So they have a five-year window. You kind of would like to know something here in the next 2 years here with him so you can feel good about that fifth year. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, they're in that window right now.
You got to find a way to get him on the field this year somehow or another so you can try to find out more about the kid. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you know? He's in a spot with a few other guys, Nate, mostly on the offensive line, who – this coaching staff is kind of giving a lifeline to, You know what I mean? Like, they're giving a free life. Like, here, you earn.
Oh, Hunter,
you
too, hit, by the way.
You earn a free life.
Yeah, we got to start seeing some from Hunter, too, also, by the way. It's not his fault either, but, you know, he's got a guy in front of him. But somehow or another, Hunter's also got to do a little something, too.
You know, Stephen Carter and Adam Shaheen both found a way to get snaps last year as third tight end, third and fourth tight ends. That's who he's competing with. So you got to go beat them out. You got to go beat right. them out, man. Like, that's – I don't really have – your third round pick, a lot of guys, right. a lot of people are high on you out of BC. You got to do something. You got to show them something. Right. Yeah. But yeah, a lot of those Bubba players are in that, you know, free life window with this new staff where, you know, you're going to get a new sports system. You're going to get a new outlook on things. You're going to get a new opportunity to make a first impression. And from what I'm told, from what I know, Noah Igbinoghene has been knocking that out of the park so far.
He's a good kid, man. Hopefully it works out for him. All right, follow him on Twitter at Marcel_LJ. What are you working on there at ESPN since you are in Connecticut? And by the way, remember, you're supposed to film some stuff for us.
Absolutely. So I'm not going to forget about Canes. the Arizona State fight song. But
No, Canes fight song, okay?
If there's
you can do the Sun Devil one as long as you have some babes there at the same time, since that's what you guys are known for. So you want to bring some Arizona State babes and put it in the picture, that's fine. But for now,
No, I've got a story coming out. I want to say tomorrow. I lose control of the story after I send it in. But the fantasy impact or fantasy potential of the Dolphins pass catchers. But then this week, it's our NFL summit. So coming back with a lot of good ideas, ideally a lot of good ideas about how to, you know, fresh ways to cover our teams in the 2022 seasons, things we need to look out for, things we want to start introducing or do differently. So it's going to be an exciting week. Hopefully come back to Florida, with a renewed sense of energy here. Not that I'm depleted.
And by the way, when you film that UM thing for us, you don't need to post it on your Twitter so you don't get in trouble and you're all butthurt with your ASU fans and friends and, you know, all, no. Just email it to Sean and myself so we can play it on the show and you won't be tied to it specifically. So that way you won't be looked at as, you know, a Jose Canseco traitor, like, you know.
It doesn't take, you know, the process of elimination there to find out who got you the video would not be hard, huh? Big O Show, who's the you got how many insiders?
Nobody watches this show, bro. Nobody watches this show. We're only producing or on pace for 26 million downloads, so very few people listen to this show. So you don't have to worry about it. Nobody will find out. All righty, there he is, getting ready to travel. Where are you traveling to this time, Mr. Man of Mystery?
You got me?
Yeah, I got you. Where are you traveling to?
There we go. Oh, back home, man. Back home. I've had enough of 60-degree weather. I'm ready for that sunshine, that 73 when I wake up.
You're going to California?
I'm on command whenever I run.
You're going to California?
Oh, I'm coming back home. Coming back to my home, man, where I pay rent.
So you were in California. Now you're coming back to South Florida is what you're saying.
No, I'm in Bristol, Connecticut.
Oh, you're in Bristol. Oh, that's right. That's right. He was in Bristol. That's right. Okay.
Dude,
it's still cold over there?
Not by really? Their standards, but by mine. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm a complete wuss, so I'm sure it's freezing for my ass over there. So, yeah.
This hoodie is not for fashion. This is for this is utility. This is necessity.
Yeah, cold, no. For Sean, that's a sauna. But for the rest of us, it's cold. I'm with you there. Let me ask you something, dude. Just before we get into the Dolphins, what's going on with Lamar Jackson? What is wrong with that young man? Does he understand
I don't know that there's anything wrong with him. I think that there's several quarterbacks right now that aren't at OTAs or not attending OTAs. And
but he's going into the final year of his deal.
He wants a new one. I mean, look at the only other productive quarterback from that class is Josh Allen. And Josh Allen got his mega deal a year ago, despite, I mean, fewer accomplishments than Lamar Jackson. I'm not going to say that I'd rather have Lamar than Josh Allen. I think that the world will probably unanimously agree that Josh Allen is the better quarterback than Lamar Jackson. But Lamar's got an MVP under his belt. Lamar has led his team to the playoffs with, I mean, little to no help on offense. I mean, it is kind of weird. I don't know what the number is he's asking for, but he's not going to get Mahomes and Allen money. But I think that is where the I think that's where the hangup is, though, is that, you know, if you're Lamar and you've done more, you know, you've accomplished more than Josh Allen, you would expect to be paid as much or more than Josh Allen is being paid. And the Ravens won't give him that money.
There's no part of you that actually believes that, right? Like, there's no part of you, right, that believes that, right? Lamar, if Lamar's that stupid to believe that he thinks he's anywhere near Josh Allen, that's fine. But between you and me, just between us, right now, Lamar Jackson is nowhere near in that stratosphere, right? You know that, right?
Lamar Jackson is not, he is not Josh Allen. Like, yeah, we can agree there.
He doesn't belong.
Like I said, I think that's
Would you give Lamar Jackson that money? You wouldn't give him Josh Allen money, right?
Oh no.
I got the no. He dropped. He's back. He's dropped. He's back.
I was about to say, what's the connection?
I know.
I got all the bars.
You got that funky reception there or something. Anyway, yeah. So, but here's my thing with him, Marcel. He's different than all these other cats. He takes a beating, dude, and you can tell that it's wearing out on him. If I'm him, I'm not so picky about trying to get the most money when you really don't belong in that level anyway. I'm trying to get as much guarantee as I can right now because his career is on the line in every snap more than any other quarterback in the NFL because he puts himself in a position to get hit more than any other quarterback in the NFL. So if I'm
what
him,
I'm more concerned about. I'm saying what I'm concerned about if I'm the Ravens and Lamar is this is a new offense right now. I mean, it's going to be the same stuff that we generally see from the Ravens, but this new personnel, there's no Hollywood Brown. All of a sudden teams can fully lock on Mark Andrews without any sort of threat from, I mean, who else is going to beat you? Miles Boykin on the outside, Rashad Bateman, maybe if he stays healthy. I don't think so. So he needs this time to start building chemistry with these new receivers and start, you know, finding the replacement for Hollywood Brown on the outside. And any minute he's gone is a minute wasted. So I understand, you know, wanting to fight for your value, and he should do. But, you know, like you said as well, like you're going to need the problem of not having an agent. There is nobody to tell you no.
Right, exactly.
There's nobody to say
that's his biggest mistake. Yeah, that's his biggest mistake. It's it's
him and his mom negotiating the deal. So it's
right. This reminds me a lot of my situation with my wife, and we had those kids go through the wall in my house and destroy the house, and so my wife is going back and forth with Progressive. And she's like, oh, no, I can handle this. And I go, no, you can't. You can't handle this. Let me call a lawyer. You know, and I called Welton Rayom. And now they've got, you know, they've got Progressive on the ropes now. And why? Because they're lawyers. They know the laws. We don't. We're schmucks. I told my wife, you're fighting with an insurance company. And they know we're schmucks that don't know the law. And they know how to take advantage of us. I said, enough is enough already. I'm calling the lawyer. And let them deal with the lawyer. And sure enough, you know, I think it's going to be resolved by tomorrow. Why? Because the lawyers have a different language that they speak, and they're able to deliver a different kind of message. And the insurance company's like, yes, sir, we've got you. And so that's where I think Lamar. I don't know where he thinks that he and his mom are going to be able to negotiate a smarter deal for him. You know, for 2%, bro. That's just not worth it, man.
Nah, man, and you know that I'm sure that his deal, whatever the Ravens have offered him, I'm speculating here. I'm sure it's somewhere in the $30 million a year range. Like, I'm sure he's in the 30s. I'm sure he's in the 30s, I'm saying, because the new market, the new quarterback market is 40 and up. It's high 40s now. So
right.
I'm sure, you know, at the worst, his low ball offer's got to be in the high 30s. You really got to, you kind of got to ask yourself, you know, when is enough enough? But again, he's a grown man. He's an MVP. It's his career and his life. You know, whatever, who am I to tell anybody what to do with their career, man? Like,
no,
I'm
do
what you think is best for yourself.
I'm with you.
I'm a pro player. I'm 9 times out of 10, I'm pro player.
Yeah, he should. That's why I say he should take the money, because where I think different than you is, I don't think he's a very good quarterback. I just think he's a freak athlete is what it is. And slowly but surely, it's just getting more and more exposed that he's not really a passer. And all you got to do is close that run out and he gets exposed. If I'm him, brother, you're close to, if you go gamble yourself this year, I could say that big contract is never coming. That's why I'm saying get it now, because this next year might be your last year where you may not have that opportunity. I'm just saying it's a crazy one. All right.
It'll be interesting to see, because, I mean, quarterbacks don't hit the market.
No, I know. I know. I get that, but that's not a quarterback. That's a different offense that you have to install completely. And that's the other reason that I think Lamar needs to be very grateful. Most NFL teams, and I'll say 95% of them, would never, ever commit to Lamar Jackson the way the Baltimore Ravens have, because that offense is so different that it's hard to have the right backup. It's just hard, and it's hard to actually commit to something in today's NFL that is a passing NFL, and you're trying to go completely against the grain on this, and it's really, really difficult to do it nowadays. So I give the Ravens a lot of credit, and Lamar needs to understand that most teams would never alter their entire offensive franchise just for that. They won't. They won't.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really an odd deal, man. I see that there and headlining Pro Football Talk, and it's crazy. I just don't understand it. All right. I know you've been obviously over in Connecticut while things are going on here in camp, but just out of curiosity, what have you picked up from what you've seen the last couple of days?
The Tyreek Hill support of Tua has been constant and consistent. I think that it's important to clarify here too. He said something along the lines of, you know, I thought it was going to be weird when I got here, but he actually throws one of the prettiest balls I've ever seen. I think he was referring to catching passes from a left-handed quarterback, not that it was going to be spray and pray all over the place.
Or timing. No, it also could be timing, because, like, you know, they've never played with each other. So he didn't know how fast he would adjust to his speed and his breaks and all that. And Tua is a very anticipatory thrower, so that's probably why.
But I think that, you know, it's better than – and whether you want to say it's scripted or he's – what do you expect him to say, or – you know, if you want to take stock out away from his defensive Tua, I'm going to counter with, it's better than him not saying anything.
Yeah.
Praise is better than no praise. So yeah, if he didn't believe it, it's not like he's going to come out and say, yeah, that, like, this guy can't throw, this guy sucks, I hate this, da 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 da, give me Mahomes back. But if he didn't like it, he probably just wouldn't say anything.
There
are ways around it. There are ways around it.
Like, not true.
He's been a pro athlete for a long time. There's ways around it.
Not true. What did he say about Pat Mahomes the first year? You remember?
He didn't think he was. He said he didn't think Pat was good his first year.
No, even worse. He thought he was trash. That was the word. That's the quote.
As a rookie.
Right.
But as a rookie.
That's what I'm saying. He's a guy that'll be brutally honest. Like, if he doesn't like something, you know, and that he was brutally honest telling you, oh, I thought he was going to spray it around. But the kid actually.
But did he say that?
Pretty ball.
But did he say, he didn't say that during Mahomes' rookie year. He said that after the fact. Saying, like, he's not going to come out and say Tua is trash. He might in a few years, he might say, I didn't think he was good when I first got here. He might come out and it might be a revelation, but he's not going to come out and say,
no,
you know, oh, he's got this and that. he just wouldn't say anything, or he would dance around it. But and then the whole, you know, posting the video as well, posting the practice clips. Look, man, if there's one thing that, and I don't know Tyreek Hill, I'm not going to pretend to know Tyreek Hill, but I've got an inkling that it's hard to make that man do anything with his social media account. It's hard to, I don't think he's the kind of person that you're going to make do stuff. So I don't subscribe to the theory that the Dolphins made him post that defensive Tua on Twitter. I don't think they made him do that. I think he said, give me these clips or give me this cut. And he posted it himself. Like, I don't think that, you know, I think that a lot of people are looking too far into it. Just like take it at face level here, where I think that he'll likes playing with Tua so far. We'll see how this works in the game. But at the very least, it seems like they're connecting. And the fact, you know, there's another clip on social media a few weeks ago of Tyreek being scared of Tua's dog. That's funny. That's cute and all. I'm seeing that Tyreek is at Tua's house. Right. I'm seeing that they're hanging out outside the facility, that they're building chemistry somewhere. That's the takeaway from this. I don't care about how big his dog is. Shoot, I'd be scared of a big dog too, but
we all are.
He's at his house. He's at his house. It's a little things, man, especially this time of year, you got to pay attention to. And I think that's significant right now.
I think so too. I think you make a great point there because, and by the way, I'm scared of every big dog that isn't my dog. So, I mean, that's just normal. What the hell, aren't you? You got to be nervous of big dogs, bro. They got some power. But anyway, I agree with you on that one. And I think that's been kind of the revelation of the entire offseason, is that a franchise that didn't look like it had camaraderie now looks like it's developing camaraderie. And it seems like because you had so much of that, I don't know, disciplined type of atmosphere around you and everything had to be so serious, it didn't look like people could be themselves and communicate with each other and hang out with each other. And I'm not just talking about Tua. I'm talking about what Mike McDaniel has started, and he allows people to be themselves in a way because he is himself too. Every day on the podium with you guys and all of that. Yeah. So I think that that's also the kind of change that we're watching, that it's not just the Tua thing. It's a whole team thing that's kind of changed, and the camaraderie.
It's important. That was a big reason why Buffalo had the turnaround that it did. There's no militaristic system in there. It's not the Patriots. It's not like some secret sauce up there. Like, they go up there and Sean McDermott lets these guys be themselves. He lets them be who they want to be. As long as you come to work on Sunday and throughout the week, as long as you come to work whenever you enter this building, I don't care if you're a goofball. I don't care if you want to say three words. I don't care if you want to be coached hard. If you want to be caught, like, he's going to let you be who you want to be as long as you get your ass to work. And so I think that's a similar concept here with just a more personable coach, is do what you want. You don't play golf throughout the week, I don't give a shit. I don't care. As long as you're in that film room, as long as you are building with your teammates, as long as you bring it on the practice field, I care what you do off the field. I don't care who you are. I care what you wear. So I think it's, it's bound. On paper, it works. On paper, it works. It makes sense. You would think, like, yeah, these guys feel comfortable now. I'm sure there's some holdouts who do like to be coached hard, who did like that Brian Flores hard-ass style. I've spoken with players who like that. They rock with flow, but again, I'm not really going to be able to pass judgment one side or another until they start playing football games. That start to the season, they're New England, they're at Baltimore, they're home against Buffalo, they're at Cincinnati. That's a tough stretch to start the year. It's a tough stretch to start the year.
I love it.
You're going to learn a lot right away.
I think exactly. That's what I love about it. You're going to learn a lot about the team right away. And you know what? A friend of mine goes, oh, man, well, it's a tough schedule to start. I go, well, wait a minute, dude. Don't you want to be a good team? Well, this is all last year, this is what I tell everybody. All last year, the second half of the season, what were we saying, Marcel? Oh, yeah, they're winning. Yeah, but they're beating nobodies. Yeah, they're puffing up their schedule. Yeah, the defense looks great. Yeah, because they're playing against nobodies. But the first half, when they were playing against good teams, the defense struggled. Oh, okay. So here we go. This is how you measure a team. So if you're playing against good teams and you're beating them, then now we know the Dolphins have made progress. But if you're beating crappy teams, who cares? That's not progress. That's the Dolphins for the last 20 years, Marcel. They've been the 8-9 win team forever. 7-9-8-10 wins maybe sometimes, but mostly 7-8 or 9. Why? Because they're always good enough to beat the crappy teams and never good enough to beat the good teams. And that's exactly what happened last year. They were stuck right in the middle again. So, hey, man, right from the get-go, we're going to find out, can you hang with the good teams? And we're now going to know what you are. Last year, we knew you couldn't hang with the good teams, right? Now we're going to find out right away. We're going to find out, is Mike McDaniel and his offense the difference right now for the Miami Dolphins? This is a great thing.
You can kind of break the schedule down into different parts. It's going to be trial by fire those first four games of the year. Then it slows down. It eases up a lot. I mean, you got, in no particular order, you got the Vikings at home. You're at the Bears. You're at the Lions. You've got Steelers on Sunday Night Football. Like, you're playing the Browns. And, you know, if Jacoby Brissett is starting for the Browns, you better be able to beat the damn Browns. If Deshaun Watson is starting, the game's at home, you know, it could go either way.
You got to massage it and get through it.
Like, there's some – I'm not going to comment on that. There's some opportunities to get right there in the middle of the season. So you can hit your stride after that trial by fire. You've got teams that you should be able to beat. You should be able to know what clicks, what doesn't, who's working, who's not, who came to play, who needs some time on the bench. And then December starts. That's when we're going to really, really find out what this team is.
That's when you bust the nut.
Well, they're at San Francisco. They're at the Chargers. They're at the Bills, back-to-back-to-back weeks. That is a stretch from hell. I was talking to Sal Palantonio about the Dolphins while I'm up here. I told him about that stretch and then said, then they got Green Bay at home on Christmas. Then they're at New England the week after that. And his eyes got real wide and said, I've never seen a stretch like that. I've never seen a stretch like that. That's when we're going to find out what these Dolphins are.
Exactly.
That's when we're going to say, okay, this is working, this is not. So, like, it's – and that's the final stretch of the season. If they can get through that, they're not going to get through that undefeated. So I don't want to say unscathed. But if they can get through that, you know, and if they can beat San Francisco, if they can, you know, beat New England on the road, I don't know if they're going to sneak one out of Buffalo in December, but that Chargers game is a huge swing game as well. If they can come out of that stretch with two wins,
it'll be orgasmic.
I believe in this squad. If they come out of it with three wins, I don't know what I might do.
I don't know. That's as close to marrying Halle Berry.
That would be a hell of a exit out of the season to close the year. You got the Jets in New York to end the season.
Or a Halle of an exit, not a hell. A Halle of an exit.
You're killing me, man. You're killing me.
I'm trying, bro. I'm trying. I'm trying to loosen this thing up here a little bit.
Like I said, there's three stretches to the season. There's three parts of the season. We're going to find out a little bit more about the Dolphins every single time. But hard to start. It's going to be difficult to start. You know, kind of face some adversity right away. You've got time to find your stride. A bunch of games that you have to win. You have to beat the Vikings at home. You have to beat the Bears on the road. You have to beat the Lions on the road. No, like, that's it, man. You have to beat the Texans at home. You lose any of those games, I'm going to lose a little bit of faith.
Yeah, no, you can't lose.
I know it's the NFL.
You can't choke against the Texans like Justin Herbert did. You're right.
No, like, you can't lose those games. And look what happened. They dropped that game that they have to win, and it bites you in the end. It always bites you in the end.
Yeah,
when you look at that, I mean, shit, when you look at last season, you had to beat the Jags in London. Lost. You had to beat the Falcons at home. Right. Lost.
Losing a stanky fingers.
Either of those two games.
Losing a stanky fingers was the low point of the season.
Hey,
I mean, how do you lose stanky fingers?
Either of those two games are a win. The Dolphins are a playoff team last year.
Right. You've done a great job maintaining composure throughout all the puns.
Hey, look, man, worldwide leader for a reason.
Okay, that's good. Nothing to look into the Channing Tindall deal, right? That's like normal. It's nothing, right?
He's a rookie. He signed his contract. He's going to play for the Dolphins next year.
That's it.
That's my take.
That's it.
My take.
What did you like anything you saw from him? Because you don't see any hitting or anything.
Wasn't enough to really opine on him, and you know, it just wasn't enough. We'll talk in training camp about how he is, or maybe by the end of mini camp, get a better idea. But no, I didn't see enough. We saw him in rookie camp, which you have to stand out. You have to be outrageously bad in order to stand out at rookie camp. Like I used the example a few years ago. I saw Will Grier throw at rookie camp with the Panthers. He was real bad. That stood out. That's my opinion. Like, unless you're real bad, it's hard to really stand out to the average eye at rookie camp.
All right, so we'll wrap it up with this. And don't forget, folks, you can order the finest energy drink on the planet, Edge Energy Drink, at myedgedrink.com. Get 10% off. Use the code BIGO, and you can get 10% off Edge Energy Drink. Delicious, smooth, and zero aftertaste, okay? I'm telling you, and it's a great elixir, too. Edge Energy Drink, myedgedrink.com. Get 10% off. All right, so you and the rest of the meteors, all right, what's the plan? How are you going to get these guys on the field for the All-Star 40 race? We need what are you guys thinking of to try to stir it up to get these guys out on the field?
I can't give industry secrets here, man. I just know that when it happens, y'all will know immediately. We're hoping for a multiple participant race, so more than two. I think more than two are interested in this. I think McDaniel let it slip a little bit who the favorite is. As he said in his words, it's who everybody thinks it will be. I'm paraphrasing,
but it's who everybody thinks it will be. But I need to know this. Hold on a second. Do we have to wait till Mostert is healthy in order to do this thing? Right? Because he's not healthy yet. So we have to kind of wait for Freddie, right?
It would be fair. So maybe it's not anytime soon. Maybe it's a training camp thing. Who knows? But when we know, y'all will know. I promise that.
All right. You guys better not slack. All right. We're going to hold all the beat writers to, their feet to the fires. Y'all better get that race happening. Okay. Get some sponsorships, get some people involved. All of that kind of stuff, okay?
Have you ever known us to slack, man? Come on.
By the way, Dougie Fresh says, O talks music a lot on the show, so what are you listening to and what are some of your music heroes? Dougie Fresh wants to ask you, Marcel.
Music heroes. That's interesting. I don't know if I have a music hero per se, but...
Really? You don't have anybody who really admire music? That whether it's their words, whether it's their passion... You know, like I'm a big Bono fan, not just only because you too, but I admire him because of all the philanthropic things that he does with he and his band. I mean, hell, he just went to play for Volinsky over there in a subway in Ukraine. You know what I mean?
I don't know if I have any that like I just really admire their work out of, at least not off the top of my head.
Is there a lyricist that you admire, like a Nas, somebody like that you love how deep they go and what they talk about? You know, Nas is one of those guys. I don't know how you look at him, but I mean, obviously somebody that might mean a little more to you because of what they
write. I've been listening to a lot of Vince Staples, it's a guy that I've always really admired. Or at least for probably the past like 6-7 years, West Side Boogie as well. I think his voice is an acquired taste. His delivery is kind of an acquired taste, but what he says, especially his album a few years ago, Everything Is For Sale. Everything's For Sale. It was my favorite piece of work in 2019, other than The Lost Boy by Cordae, but it was just incredibly introspective. I do love and appreciate when artists they open up about what their struggles are, about their thoughts, not their privileges,
their demons.
Their demons is a good way to put it.
Yeah, yeah. Lizzie Hale does that a lot. I admire the crap out of Lizzie Hale, Hailstorm. She talks a lot about depression and some of the things that she's had to deal with. And she openly either sings about it or talks about it on Instagram to kind of, you know, show people that she's at the same level as others that are dealing with it too. So yeah, I'm with you there. People that kind of show their soul to you, in other words, is what you're saying. Did we lose him again?
No.
There we go.
It's kind of low-hanging fruit, but I've been on my flight over here. I really got to sit down, do nothing, and run this Kendrick album through. I think that the excitement of its dropping and like the hype around it, it made it really hard to focus on what he was saying the first time around. So I put it down for a couple of weeks and finally picked it back up on my flight over here. And I thought it was excellent. I thought it was excellent, particularly how he closed it out. You know, there's a few there's a few songs in there that, you know, the one talking about his transgender aunt and cousin, where I don't think there's some things in there I don't know if he should have said per se, but it's his music and it's his story. There's a, I believe it's called Sober or Mama's something. I never know names of the songs, man. I just put my phone down and listen to it through. But he's discussing his family's reaction to a cousin who they felt was inappropriately touching him. And Kendrick would insist on no, no, no. And my takeaway from it is that the family never believed him, and it pushed that cousin to the point where he beat Kendrick's mom up, and then his uncle got revenge on it eventually. It was just it's a story that you got to play it back two or three times to really hear the entire thing. But it's so dark. It's so personal. And I think it's a level that we didn't necessarily hear from Kendrick in his previous three albums. So,
well, it's a subject that is, you know, and I hate to stereotype, but I'll do a little bit of it, and, you know, it is what it is. But in the Hispanic and in the Black community, gays aren't necessarily as accepted, you know what I mean? And a lot of parts of it. I know that in the Black community, it happens a lot like it does in the Hispanic community. We're not as accepting at times of people that are different. And it's something that our cultures sometimes have to adjust to. And it's a problem that happens a lot, unfortunately.
I think the old mindset,
yes,
had always been, yes, you, yes, know, it's hard enough to be Hispanic, yes, and it's hard enough to be Black. Now, yes, you want to add something else onto it. That's always, I think that's
been a great point on your part, because
that's been the old heads.
Millennials down are different in all colors and religions and races and whatever. Yeah, it doesn't matter what it is. Younger people are actually people of your age, by the way. I give you guys a lot of credit, because you all are way more accepting of each other than we are. You know, people, yeah, my age or older, oh my God.
World.
Yeah, dude, yeah, they're setting their ways and forget
it. It is a different, more tolerant generation, I would like, yes, to say. I can't say world because...
No, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. But we are more tolerant as we move on. We have. There's no doubt about that. Give me a break. Look at the changes all over our world. We're more tolerant, bro, of everything.
I'll, you know, but there's an old guard.
The problem is that the hate is loud.
There's an old guard that needs to go away before we start seeing actual change. So,
yeah.
Until that day, I don't know how drastic this is going to be. But
right. Yeah. No, you're right. There's no doubt about that. All right, man. Have a safe flight. We will catch up next week, my friend. Appreciate you as always.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me on. See y'all on Monday.
You got it, baby. There you go. That is Marcel Louis Jacques. Make sure you follow him on Twitter @Marcel_LJ.